Emilio, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
So you're going to be speaking a little bit about voting rights on Martin Luther King Day.
I'm really excited. I'm spending the day as an invited guest of the Northwoods Unitarian Universalist Fellowship over there in Woodruff. The evening at the UU Fellowship, I'm going to be talking a bit about Dr. King's legacy with voting rights, and I'm putting it into a historical context, and then how Dr. King's battle for voting rights is relevant today and how it affects us now.
And how would you say it's relevant today? I mean, how do we see that struggle currently?
Oh, well, I think it's very prevalent. You know, we just had the recent Wisconsin voter ID court case, and as the trial showed, if the Wisconsin voter ID law went into effect, it would make it impossible or at least extremely difficult for many voters in Wisconsin to vote. I think the trial clearly showed that racial and ethnic minorities would be more likely to be excluded from voting. And this violates both the Constitution and the Voting Rights Act. You see it locally as well. You know, there are many instances where people discuss conflicts with access and ability to get to polling places. And it's just as vibrant today, if not more so, than it was then.
So you see some of the voting ID laws as connected to the voting rights struggles of the 1960s.
Well, yes, very much so. There's a trend to erect obstacles to our fundamental democratic right to vote. And these obstacles can block literally thousands of people in Wisconsin. So, for example, even in the court case, the defense conceded that there were over 160,000 people in Wisconsin that don't have the appropriate ID to vote right now.
Maybe you can tell me a little bit more about your work with the ACLU in Wisconsin.
I'm the Director of Youth and Programs for the state. And a lot of what I do is kind of sharing with the community at large how civil liberties and civil rights are vibrant and relevant in their lives today. And when you're taking a look at younger folks, if you're taking a look at high school students or middle school students, this can be really dry. You're looking at, you know, old texts and boring paragraphs, sometimes in history books, you know, words that don't necessarily leap out. Jim Crow laws, black codes, civil rights movement of the 1960s, all of these things can be, you know, fixed points in time, and folks don't necessarily see the relevance to their lives now. I think this resonates across the state because another hue and cry is being ushered forward by many Native peoples who wish to see themselves reflected in their curriculum and are struggling in their local school districts to make sure that there's some equity here.
Right, so civil rights as connected to Native American history and politics as well.
Yes. You know, it's funny, even discussing the voting rights case with some people, it can seem a little removed from their day-to-day actions. But I heard an interesting analogy yesterday. I heard an analogy comparing us all to fingers on a hand. And if we have an infection on one finger, another finger, you can bet that that's going to affect the rest of your hand and your arm. And to deny or to attempt to block a fundamental democratic right, for example, your ability to vote in an election, is to encourage that, to turn your back on people in your community. It's going to have an adverse effect on you as well. Additionally, even though people, as you say, may feel somewhat disconnected up in the woods, I don't think it's that true. Our plaintiffs come from all over the state. Media may make a circumstance appear one way, but certainly a closer look will show that the problem is much more close to home than initially appeared.
Well, Emilio De Torre, thank you so much for your time today.
Oh, it was a pleasure. Thank you, too.